ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We've long been looking for evidence of life beyond Earth, and the rocks on Mars may hold vital clues. The retrieval of rock samples from the Red Planet is the number one priority in planetary exploration. But an independent review has found that current efforts by the Mars Sample Return Program, it's run by NASA and the European Space Agency, is too costly and taking too long. NASA is now looking for cheaper ways to bring back these space nuggets. Dr. Brad Tucker is an astrophysicist with a burning ambition to get one of those rocks under a microscope, which I imagine is a big career ambition. Dr. Brad Tucker, welcome.
How's it going?
Great to speak to you always. What are the current estimates around the cost of bringing rocks back from Mars to study?
Yeah, you know, the project originally, they were hoping to be in the $1 to $2 billion range. Just to put this in the scale, the last Mars rover cost $2.1 billion. This was Perseverance. The costs now have blown out to probably in the $8 billion range. They look like they've gone up about a factor of four based on kind of this latest assessment of the progress of the mission and the costs. And, you know, to put this in the scale, the James Webb Space Telescope, this huge thing that was sent into space, a year and a half ago now, cost about $10 billion. And that was massively over budget as well and caused quite a huge stir in the community. So this is definitely kind of bringing, you know, memories back of this legacy of another mission, which even though it's scientifically productive, was well over budget and way over time.
Why is getting rock samples from Mars so important to us and to you?
Yeah, look, you know, it is trying to answer really the top questions we're doing in astronomy and space exploration and understanding planets, and that is, are we alone in the universe? Every mission, all of the observations, every time we keep looking at Mars, it keeps pointing to it was a wet planet that was probably rich in water and has a good chance at hosting, at least in the past, life. So that's what we want to answer. Now, a lot of these rovers on Mars have been studying in situ, so the environment on Mars, and they're kind of little labs on wheels. But there's only a limit of what you can put on these labs. There's only a limit of what you can study. So you really want the rocks back to do the best detailed analysis to say and really suss out, is there life contained somewhere in these rocks or somewhere on Mars? That's kind of the biggest goal. And we think it can be answered if we take enough sample back from Mars to Earth, but it has to be done in a lab here.
Okay, so basically they hold clues to life beyond Earth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, that big question, did life arise somewhere else? Did it arise on another planet? And then that informs a lot of stuff on our own planet. You know, how did life even really kickstart here? Other questions kind of in the history of Mars. You know, we think Mars was Earth-like 3.5 billion years ago to 4 billion years ago. Why did it turn from a water-rich planet to a dry desert? What does that tell us for the history of Earth as well? So some really big questions in the life question for the solar system, for our own understanding of how we're here and everything in between.
When you have an endeavor, you know, as significant as this one, I'm assuming it does a lot of sucking up costs and time. What impact does that have on other exploratory science missions?
Yeah, so this is an interesting question because often in the community, we have different what we call decadal plans, astronomy, space, planetary science. We kind of break it up. And right now in Australia, in fact, we're going through the decadal plan of what are the top priorities in Australian astronomy for the next 10 years. And we do this so that we can kind of say, all right, you know, I have my pet interest. You have your, you know, your specific thing. Instead of having hundreds of people saying, let's fund all of these hundreds of things and none of them getting done, we kind of say, all right, well, as a community, we decide these are the top 3-5x priorities, and they should be funded accordingly. This is what's been done for planetary science and Mars exploration. And, you know, top of that list is this getting these samples from Mars. But that said, you still have other projects you want to do. You have other smaller things. And it was also predicated on the idea that it would cost a certain amount and also be done in a certain time frame that, you know, hey, we want to do this in the coming decade And yeah, we know it's going to be expensive, so we won't do all of the things we want to do. We'll still be able to do a lot of them. But if it's going to be four times the cost, you're going to have to decide certain things, and that is going to sacrifice other priorities. And so you kind of have to weigh it. And if we go back to the James Webb, it's not an easy answer because, you know, James Webb, as I said, costs way over budget. But the science it's turning out now has revolutionized astronomy, and it's benefiting all fields of astronomy. So, yeah, all right, it was over budget. It did drain some resources, but it did end up being a game changer in the field. So, you know, you kind of have to weigh all of these different things to decide what is the best path. I think really the biggest sticking point is it's not just more expensive. It's going to take a really long time beyond what the plan is. And then the question is it even worth it?
Is it even worth it? There are already rovers on Mars collecting rock samples. What can we learn from these rocks without actually bringing them back? I know you want them back, but, you know, what can we achieve?
I know I want everything. But, you know, the idea is we have learned a lot. We have learned that there is water on Mars. We've learned that there is signs of life on Mars. So we've learned a lot about the potential markers for life arising. We've learned a lot just about the history of Mars as a planet itself. But you kind of do want to take the next step and really to do some of these biological experiments to suss out, you know, kind of like hunting for fossils. You need to dig down into the soil, you need to dig down to the rocks. And the rovers are a little bit limited in what we can do. Now, that said, there have been other missions. We've had what's called Ingenuity, this little drone that was really just a giant test of, hey, could we fly on Mars? And it revolutionized the idea of exploring Mars. This drone, which was relatively cheap compared to these rovers, flew around Mars, mapped the surface of Mars, was able to travel vastly more distances than the rovers because of their limited speed, and opened up a potential new way of exploring Mars. So In the past few years, we've had technology that's come on that has really changed what we've been able to do. We've actually gone to asteroids, collected samples, and brought those back to a lab on Earth. So Australia did this with Japan on Hayabusa, and the U.S. did this. So, you know, we are finding new ways of doing this. So the question then is, can we employ one of those to replace this somewhat longer mission on Mars?
Interesting. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thanks.
Dr. Brad Tucker is an astrophysicist and cosmologist at the ANU Research School of Astronomy and Astrophysics.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.